I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Glad that you're listening to this transcribed Baptist Hour program today. It is dedicated to the cause and kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our prayer is that the message may go into more and more American homes and hearts. We're talking today about America's children, children of wrath. Listen earnestly and carefully, if you will. This is the Baptist Hour.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ, the loyal master, leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner grow. Onward, Christian.
Like this, when all we can hear is war and rumors of war, it is good to read again God's recipe for personal peace. Here it is from Paul's Philippian letter. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Our Father, we are 1,000 different people, all of us praying, each with a separate problem, each needing Thee. Help us to make the peace of God our peace. Help us to rise above sin and failure and sorrow, that for an hour like this, we might be triumphant in our faith in Thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight, rose a melody sweeter than song. In celestial-like strains it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite calm.
Peace, peace, love.
treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in the heart of my soul, so secure that no power can mine it away, while the years of eternity roll. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of the
like this, passive Christianity is not enough. God demands militant action, the kind of action involved in the simultaneous revival crusade to be conducted in the 19,000 Baptist churches east of the Mississippi, March 25th to April 8th. But if the action is to be effective, we must be spiritually prepared. Start now to prepare yourself. In personal prayer, confess your sins to the Lord. Ask for forgiveness and cleansing, and then pour out your heart to Him in the plea for power. Thousands can be won, and a nation can be stirred if we will let the Lord work. The message today is about America's young people. I wish you could read some of the hundreds of letters from young high school and college students which have come to us here at the Baptist Hour. If the Lord is working mightily in your high school or college student body, why not write and tell us about it so that we can join our prayers with yours that God will raise up a young army to do His work.
Arise, O youth of God, have God with hands and knees. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King. Arise, arise, O youth of God.
One half of the burglars, one third of the robbers, one sixth of the murderers in the United States are young people below the age of 21. Not from the sensational exaggeration of the professional pessimist, but from the Federal Bureau of Investigation comes the terrible fact that the largest criminal groups in the country today are to be found among 18-year-old boys and 20-year-old girls. That 60% of all the crime in America last year was committed by young people below the age of 21. Much of our younger generation of today can be classed as a criminal generation. But that's only part of the picture. Between 1933 and 1947, 7,000 liquor joints in the city of Chicago were investigated. More than 90% of them were found to be breaking the law, and 2,000 of those violations involved directly the selling of liquor to young people and children. The Yale Institute of Alcoholic Studies has estimated that two-thirds of America's active alcoholics today began their drinking while they were in American high schools. Recent surveys have revealed that more than 60% of America's young people take their first drink of an intoxicating beverage before they reach the age of 18. There is justification for the charge that America is rearing a drunkard generation. There is more to the picture. The greatest tragedy of today lies in the obvious spiritual neglect of America's children. Masses of America's young people are frankly and openly pagan. That is not a pleasant fact in any sense, but it happens to be the truth. Our schools, even down to the grade school level, have in a large degree thrown any semblance of religious training out of the window. 17 million American boys and girls between the age of 4 and 14 have had no religious instruction, Christian, Jewish, Buddhist, or any other kind. They have never been inside a Sunday school. They know nothing of the Bible. They have never had a chance to know Christ. We are rapidly raising up a heathen generation in America. These are your children. For the past 4 years, I have worked with them in churches, schools, and homes. I have talked with every type, rich ones, poor ones, smart ones, dumb ones, good ones, bad ones. I have tried to counsel them with their problems. I have preached to them, prayed with them, cried with them. Some of them have laughed at me. Some have cursed me. One of them struck me. They have come from every section of the country, from New York to El Paso. I know them. I love them. My heart is broken for them. They are America's children, the hope of tomorrow. And about them, many have said, and they have had grounds to say it, they are no good. They are rotten to the core, criminal, drinking, lecherous, reckless, cursing, immoral kids. I do not come today to try to defend America's young people. I have quoted the figures which substantiate the charges made against them. But I do want to try today to put the responsibility for the situation squarely where it belongs. I am reading from God's holy word, the 6th chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, verses 1 to 4. Listen. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Here is the double obligation. Children must obey their parents, says Paul. But I submit to you that the primary obligation lies somewhere else. Young people are yet immature and unready to be charged with full responsibility. The important verse for us today is the 4th one. And ye fathers, ye parents, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. A man or woman who has failed in this respect has no right to expect that his or her children will be anything but children of wrath. How have so many parents failed here? Let me suggest some rather obvious things which are taking their toll among America's millions of youngsters today. First, many an American parent has failed to concentrate unselfish love upon his child. Any good psychologist will tell you that the greatest single need of any child is to find security in the knowledge that he is loved. The parent who is worth the name must focus interest, love, attention on the child, and recognize its value. Every child is a personality made in the image of God. Every child has within it untold potentialities. Every child has a soul. And that soul meant enough to God that he gave his own son to die for it on the cross. Every child is a part of the parent. Yet despite all of this, many a parent today, living in this pleasure-mad, comfort-crazed, sin-stained age, is orphaned not by the death of the parents, but by selfish desires, ambitions, and designs which keep parents away from home or stand between them and the right relationship to their children. Let me read to you from a report by social workers in a large American city, illustrating what I mean. Case number one, both parents work in an industrial plant. Both drink. The children aged 4 and 5 are left alone day and night, badly neglected. Case number two, the father makes good money, but the mother works too, leaving children 4 and 5 with an old feeble-minded woman. Neighbors report that these youngsters have several times barely escaped death under the wheels of passing cars. Case number three, mother insists on working, though father has a job which pays well. Mother habitually comes home drunk and beats the youngsters, 8 and 10 years old. And so it goes. There are thousands of cases. Some few may be justified or at least explained by the fact that both parents must work in order to support the family. In most cases, however, the children are being sacrificed upon the altar of extra luxuries and comforts which could be and ought to be dispensed with in the interest of the life and welfare of the child. There is a second thing. Parents are admonished to be worthy of the love and obedience of their children. They are commanded by God to bring up the child in the care and admonition of the Lord. How tragic it is that thousands upon thousands of parents are totally unable to do this because they themselves do not know the Lord. It has been said so many times that it is commonplace and familiar that the real problem of America today is not juvenile delinquency, but parental delinquency. And it is still true. American children are chips off the old block. They are lustful, sinful, wicked, evil in too many cases because they are so much like their dads and mothers before them. The attitude of many a parent is amazing. They want their children to grow up to be clean, decent, upstanding, law-abiding Christian citizens of the community. And yet they are not willing to accept upon their own lives the discipline of Christ, the power of his faith to make them the kind of parents they ought to be. You can do one, but you cannot do both. A father or a mother who is ungodly, who is wicked, who is worldly, who is lustful, who lies, who gossips, who cheats, who steals, who fights God, who never goes to church, whose tongue is corrupt and whose heart is filthy, that parent has no right to expect any other kind of child. The son or daughter will be like the parent. The drinking mother has no right to expect that she will rear a sober daughter. The gambling father must expect a gambling son. In a very real way, the sins of fathers are visited upon the children. It is inescapable, it is inevitable, unless God intervenes. The most tremendous responsibility that any parent has is the responsibility of leading his children in coming to know and understand God. The parent who says that he will not try to influence his child in the matter of religion is tragically evading that responsibility. It is one thing to say, I want my child to make up his own mind without outside influence on my part. It is another thing to see that work out. If you do not influence your child toward God, toward Christ, toward the Bible, yours will be the only influence which does not count. The influence of the devil will count. The world will have its say. Atheism, agnosticism, false faiths of every kind will have their say. The liquor interest will cram their beautiful advertisements down your child's intellectual throat. The magazines will make their influence felt. The motion pictures will play their part. The corrupting power of sin will make its voice heard. Everybody will influence your child in the matter of religion except you. It is not right. It is not just. The child in the final analysis must make a responsible decision of its own. But it is your responsibility under God to bring Christian training and influence to bear upon that child. Your child deserves to be taken to Sunday school, not sent. He deserves a father and mother who know the Bible, who read it regularly, and who try their best to live according to its precepts. He needs parents who are active in the church, who know its program, who know what salvation means, and who have felt the redeeming power of the living Christ. You are not being fair to your children unless you give them that. Judge Robert H. Scott of the Los Angeles Superior Court said recently, 10 years as judge of the juvenile court before and during the war, hearing thousands of cases, have emphasized in my mind the supreme value of Christian home training in preventing and curing juvenile delinquency. And he is right. The child who grows up without Christ will, barring unusual circumstances, live without Christ, die without Christ, and spend eternity without Christ. But you say as you listen today, certainly he's not talking to me about my children. We don't live in the slums, in the crime districts. I give my children a good home, plenty to eat, warm clothes to wear. They have everything they need. Well, of course, we have our friends into the home now and again for social cocktails. And I must admit that there's not a great deal of religion around our house. We don't go to church very often, but we do believe in God. Listen, friend, some of the most tragic and terrible cases with which I have had to deal in these last few years have come from the finest of homes, the wealthiest and most cultured of families. It was my job to break the news to a bank president that his daughter was going to be an unwed mother. It was my job to tell a wholesale grocer that his son was mixed up with marijuana drugs. The thing that will make your home what it ought to be is not money, but Christ. The thing that will help you rear your children right is not money, but Christ. Good food, warm clothes, home, education, recreation, good child psychology, all of these are important, but they are not worth anything unless there is also Christ. It is Christ the Savior who ought to be the integrating factor around which your home is built. There need be no hesitancy in your heart about asking him to come into your home. The Redeemer who walked the highways and byways of Palestine, entering the humble homes of his countrymen, blessing the children, healing the sick, caring for family needs. He who said, "Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." That Savior offers everything necessary for your family happiness. Christ can come into your home only as he comes into you. You cannot be the father or the mother that you ought to be. You cannot raise up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord until you have found the Lord for yourself. It's not a difficult thing to do. Think of Jesus. Think of him first and foremost, not as history's greatest preacher, religion's mightiest leader, humanity's noblest friend, or the world's finest philosopher, but think of him humbly, reverently as the Son of God and the Savior of your soul. I emphasize it. Jesus Christ, whose name you may have used, but only in the abuse of profanity, whose power you may have witnessed in the world without even recognizing it, whose offer of pardon, peace, and the paradise above you have spurned. This Jesus is your adequate Savior, who saves you freely through his grace and not through works of merit. Your tireless Savior, who comes again and again as he does today, though you have repeatedly rejected him. Your unchanging Savior, whose love and whose way is never different, and who in every fear-weighted, sorrow-burdened, rest-robbed moment stands knocking at the door of your heart. But be sure of it, he is your only Savior. There is none other name under heaven given among men, says the Bible, whereby we must be saved. If a man, if a home, if a child, if a father, if a mother is not saved through the precious, peerless, powerful name of Jesus, then they are not saved. What of you? What of your children? If tomorrow's America is to have any hope at all, then realize that here and now we must consecrate our youth to Christ. The hope for our nation lies not in statesmanship, which has failed so dreadfully, not in education, which has willfully spurned the Almighty and helped to produce the present catastrophe, not in policing the world, for force begets only counterforce. The only assurance that we have of any future, for ourselves or for our children, is Jesus Christ, whose verdict of the ages still is as valid today as it was 2,000 years ago. Without me, ye can do nothing. There must be a militant Christian youth, a young army of God, raised up by him for an hour like this? Dad or mother, are you ready to take your place in the ranks of the redeemed in the army of the Lord, recognizing the responsibility that rests upon you because you have brought into this world a life, and because to a tremendous extent you are responsible for the eternal destiny of that life? Are you ready to come to Christ? Boy or girl, young man or woman, there in high school, yonder in college, does the Master speak to the best that is in you just now? God grant you grace to make your answer. Lord Jesus, knowing only that I am a sinner, that you have the power to save, I come in faith to you. May the Holy Spirit work that children of wrath might become children of God. Mother sitting there by your radio just now, put your arm around that little boy or girl that you love more than anything else in all the world. Look up into the face of our God. Say, Lord Jesus, take my life and the life of my children. Make it what it ought to be. The Lord bless you just now as you do it.
The message was by Charles Welburn, teacher of Old and New Testament in the Department of Religion, Baylor University, Waco, Texas. You may have a free copy simply by sending a card or letter to the Baptist Hour, Station E, Atlanta, Georgia. The sermon will be sent to you in convenient tract form so you may share copies with your friends. Our address again, the Baptist Hour, Station E, Atlanta, Georgia. Baptist Hour is presented by the Radio Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention as a transcribed contribution to the religious life of America. Music was by the Baptist Hour Choir under the direction of John D. Hoffman. And now let us urge you to attend Sunday school and church regularly. And be with us again next week, same time, same station, for the Baptist Hour. This is an independent network.